Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover chapter 6, which is on management of spare parts and supplies. Supplies here means also operating supplies. So spare parts refer to the requirement of parts for keeping owned equipment in healthy operating condition by meeting the repair and replacement needs imposed by breakdown, preventive and predictive maintenance. So these materials are utilized in the manufacturing and service process, but do not become a part of the end product. So what we mean by this is spare parts are the components or parts which go into the equipment which are basically running the production or the manufacturing, but they are not part of the finished product. That means they do not find their way into the finished product. And they are necessary, for the breakdown maintenance, preventive maintenance, and the predictive maintenance of the equipment which are used in the manufacturing. Demand of these materials does not vary with the demand for the final product. And they have further qualified by saying in direct proportion. So what it means is, if your production or your demand for the end product is high, doesn't mean that your spares requirement will be high. Why the qualification of in direct proportion? Because it can so happen that when the demand is low, the utilization of the equipment is low, your maintenance requirement also may be low. But when your plant is fully occupied, your utilization of the equipment is of a very high extent, maybe the maintenance requirement may also be high. But there is no direct correlation between the demand for your finished product and the consumption of the spare parts. So spare parts consist of components of machines and equipment that wear out with the use and time and need replacement. So you have so many components, especially the moving parts like bearings or seals, or various kind of parts which tend to wear out over a period of time due to usage. Supplies consist of lubricant, coolant, cutting tools, cleaning agents, etc. So when we mentioned spare parts and supplies, I mentioned operating supplies. So operating supplies consist of the lubricants, etc., which go into your machines, the coolants, the cutting tools, the cleaning agents, etc., which are required to maintain your machines. The spare parts management function is critical from an operational perspective, especially in refineries, chemical plants, paper mills, airlines, logistics companies, etc., because these are the enabling functions. If your machines are not in order, then you can have frequent breakdowns and you can have stoppage of your manufacturing activity. So that's why this is a very critical function or from operational perspective. Service parts refer to the demand for parts imposed by service department for equipment owned and operated by the customer. So service parts could be like spare parts for cars, etc. When you are selling a car, the car may come for servicing. There are certain things you need to replace. There may be oil change, there may be filters, oil filter, air filter. So all these parts also, belong to the service parts category. So what are the objectives of the spare parts management or the supplies management? It is to ensure availability so that they are available whenever they are required. Determine the requirement. So what is the kind of a requirement we have about the spares? What is the kind of inventory we are supposed to hold? And what is the expected consumption of these items? Define the source of supply. Where are we going to source them from? Finalize the ordering options. So what are the options available to us for ordering and which one we choose? And anticipate the needs. So we anticipate how frequently or when the spares will be required, spares or the supplies may be required. So what are the unique features for spare parts management? First, the demand is very erratic. So unlike in a manufacturing or a production scenario, where you know that if there is a customer order for a particular product, you will require a certain item. Here, the demand is very erratic because you do not know when a component will fail. Let us say that there is a ball bearing in a equipment. Now, ball bearing has a certain life, but it can fail if there is improper lubrication or if there is an exceptional load on the ball bearing, more than the design load, or there are other factors like, you know, if there are some impurities in the lubricant, etc., which can shorten the life of the ball bearing, leading to the failure. So the requirement of spares can be very erratic, cannot be easily predicted. They have long lead time because if you see, when we talked about the materials, you have to start right from identifying the supplier or the vendor. You have to seek quotations, negotiation, then you place the order, and then you receive the supplies. So for regular material, your suppliers are known. They know your requirement. They keep the material in stock. They also have some safety stock. Now, when we are talking of spares or supplies, many a times these things don't happen. So every time you have to start from identification of the vendor, calling for multiple quotations, etc., because that's a commercial requirement in many organizations. And then you have to negotiate and finalize the order. Disproportionately high cost, because you are buying the spares. You don't buy them in huge quantity like you do when you are ordering material for your manufacturing activity. So here the costs are high. Also because the cost for delivering, let us say that you are ordering only 5 ball bearings, right? So the transportation cost, etc., can be quite significant. So the cost of this equipment could be high. Also depending upon, when you have very specialized type of spares, they are bound to be a little costly. Spares are available in plenty when not needed and are not available when direly needed. This is just an observation. So business units supplying capital goods, they have to decide whether to supply the machine spares with the original equipment at the time of sale itself, with the cost included in the base price of the equipment, or at extra cost to the customer. And it should be clarified to the customer that if they do not buy the spares with the equipment, it might not be possible for them to supply spares at a later date. So what happens is that generally the capital goods suppliers will advise the customer that there are certain spares that they need to have with them. For example, there are certain equipment where you require rubber coated rolls. Now, it's a standard practice that you will have some spare rolls, 2 or 3 spare rolls, so that when one roll gets damaged or it needs to be recoated, you remove it, you put the spare one, and you send the damaged one for recoating purpose. So this is the kind of advice that the supplier may give. He may either bundle it into the original package, or he can charge extra, for the spares which are given, over and above the complete equipment. In some cases, there may be spares which are specific to a machine. For example, a machine is designed as per the customer requirement, and that particular component of the machine or a part of the machine may be specifically manufactured for that customer. Now, the company will not have this spare in their stock, because it's a one-off kind of a supply. So in such cases, they give you the option of purchasing an extra unit and keeping it as an insurance spare for future use, because in case the customer wants it in future, it may not be available. So this is something that the supplier of capital goods needs to clarify. So effective management of spares involves listing and codifying the spares. So you have to know all the spares which are required. So for example, when you buy an equipment, you should know all the spares which may be required, whether it is fasteners, bearings, seals, lubricants, whatever it is. So these need to be listed down and codified and included in your spare parts list. Standardizing the spare parts. So you need to standardize some of the parts, fasteners, bolts, nuts. This can be standardized so that you don't hold too many variety. Analyzing the spare parts. So deciding which spare parts, you know, are required to be held, which spare parts need not be held. They can be repaired and used, reused, etc. Establishing sources for the supply. So in case you require this in future, then where can you get it? Because sometimes there may be spares which are very unique. That means you have to buy it only from the company which supplied the equipment or from the OEM supplier to the capital goods manufacturer. Determining the requirement. So what is the kind of stock level you have to maintain? And that would depend upon what will be the consumption or what will be the requirement of that particular spare. And forming the stocking policy. So you need to form a policy, which kind of spares, how much you will be holding, depending upon the lead time, the cost, and various other factors. Listing and codifying of the spares. So here is an example given of typically how a spare may be codified. So like, for example, you know, there are a number of digits here, and the digits signify what kind of a spare it is. So if it is 1 here, it means it's a mechanical spare. 2 here means that this refers to a bearing. It can be roller bearing, ball bearing, taper bearing, whatever. 3rd, it could be a particular type of a bearing. That means describing what kind of a bearing it is. Plus, there could be physical attributes, you know, things like what is the inside diameter of the ball bearing, what is the outside diameter, what is the thickness of the bearing, etc. So codification can be done in such manner. Many places, codification is a machine-generated number where you don't have a say. But in many organizations, the codification is done in such a way that if you know the logic, you know more or less what kind of a product or the nature of the spare that you are referring to. So in addition to codifying the spare parts, it will be an immense benefit to codify the location of the spare part. Now, this generally is not done in the material code, but it is normally done in the system. So as to tell you, because normally the spare part stores are huge. And if you have to look for a spare part simply by the material code, it can be very difficult. So you have to also store the location in terms of in which particular rack or which particular bin and in which area of the store this material is stored. So then all the users should be made aware and should be supplied with the relevant codes and stock location numbers in the form of spare part catalogs as follows. So we used to have this in the good old days before the computers came in. We used to have a catalog. So all the spare parts were listed and a printout was generated. So if you are looking for an oil seal or an O-ring or a ball bearing, you had to run through the list, select the component that you wanted, and then the code number, everything will be mentioned there. With that, you create a requisition for drawing the material from the store. So what are the information that are to be contained in the catalog? So the spare part codification plan. So you start with how the codification has been done so that a person who is new to the organization also understands how the code is built up or how it is structured. Specific spare part codes. So if you're looking for a bearing, then what is the code of the different type of bearings? So that, you know, if he has to draw the bearing from the store, he needs to know what is the code to be mentioned for that particular part. Spare part description with complete specification. You can have a ball bearing, you can have a roller bearing, you can have a taper bearing having similar kind of dimension. So it is necessary that you have the complete description with a complete specification, not simply the dimensions. If there are some parts which are fabricated parts, then you need to have the drawing number, because if you have to refabricate from a local workshop or so, you require the drawing number, which needs to be taken from the drawing office and supplied to the vendor for manufacturing of additional units. So you may have a couple of units in stock, but when you're nearing the reorder point, then you will have to order more pieces, where you will have to furnish the drawing to the drawing and the specification to say what kind of material and what kind of finish is required of the component. Manufacturer's code and part number. Now, suppose it's a OEM spare, where you have to buy the spare, not from the open market, but from the manufacturer himself. In such a case, you will require the manufacturer's code and the manufacturer's part number. For example, you have a water filter, a UV water filter, and you have the UV bulb, then you will need the manufacturer's code and the part number if you have to order it from the party who has supplied it to you. And the stock location number, what we already discussed, where exactly in the store this particular material is stored. The next step is to affix identification tag or mark the part with a code to enable the stores person to identify them at the time of issue. So generally, the bins have labels or stickers which are marked. And sometimes even, if the components come in plastic bags, etc., you will have labels affixed on them, which will identify the spares. If care is not taken, a lot of time is wasted in locating the part. So, for example, if the exact location or the bin number is not mentioned in your system, then one has to, search for the part, which means a lot of time wastage. Standardizing of spare parts. We should decide to buy capital equipment from one or two manufacturers. One ideal example is a certain airline in India. They are buying all the aircrafts from one particular manufacturer, and that is Airbus Industries. They buy one or two models of the aircraft, not too many variants, so that the spares which are required will be common between them. Now you see how it helps. The variety of spares you have to hold will be very few, because you have only one or two models of the aircraft. Number two, between large number of aircraft, you can still operate with less number of spare parts. Now, suppose you had five different types of aircraft, you would have to hold spares for each of those different variants or different aircrafts. So that way you are standardizing the spare parts by opting for one single manufacturer, and by that way you are reducing your inventory carrying cost. The distributor can suggest to us which and how new additions will match our existing assets. So we are already holding inventories. Whenever we are buying any new equipment or so, we can try and see, we buy equipment where we don't have to keep additional spares. So that is another way we can standardize on these spare parts and reduce the variety by using the 5S process. The 5S is the lean process where, you are basically improving your housekeeping, standardizing your storage, systems, etc., and improving the accessibility of all your spares, tools, etc. Analysis of the spare parts. So how do you analyze spare parts? The commonly used analysis are FSN, ABC, VED, SDE, and HML. And what are these? So let's look at them. The FSN analysis is based on the movement of the goods. So there are fast moving, slow moving, and non-moving. So items which move very fast, that means couple of units are being consumed every month, they will come under fast moving. If there are items where only few units are moving per month, like one or two, or they are being used once in a while, like once in 2 months or 3 months the item is issued, it will be slow moving. And if the items are not moving at all, that means you have stock, but it's not consumed for a couple of months or even sometimes years, then we term it as non-moving stocks. Scarce, difficult, and easily available. So here, the analysis is based on the availability or also on the lead time. So items which are imported, also local spares which require more than 6 months of lead time. So these are called as scarce. Now, why do we need this classification? Because these kind of spares we need to hold in the inventory. In the event of a failure, it can cause extended downtime of the equipment. Difficult, so these are items that require lead times more than a fortnight, but less than 6 months. So these again require long lead time, but not as long as the scarce product. So these also you need to hold in stock. And the last category is the easily available stock. So here, they are available in the local market, and the lead times are very, very short. One example I'll give you of easily available spares is ball bearings. Ball bearings or roller bearings. There are a number of companies which are very standard. You don't need to hold inventories. In the past, we used to have inventories even for ball bearings, etc. But today, you can have a tie-up with the supplier or the distributor, and he can supply the ball bearings on a call. So even if he doesn't have that particular bearing, he will get it from another dealer of the same company and he will supply it to you within a couple of hours. So these are the kind of products or spares which are termed as easily available. Even things like lubricant, etc., unless if they are very specialized or so, it's a different case. But generally, the lubricants, etc., easily available. So you can, even if you keep the spare, I mean, stock of these supplies, you don't have to have very high stocks. You only require a stock for a limited period because you can replenish them very easily. Third type of analysis is vital, essential, and desirable. So vital are the ones, the items, if not available, there will be very high loss due to production or production downtime, or a very high cost to be paid if it is to be procured on emergency basis. That is, you know, special type of bearings which come for this kiln in cement plant. So in cement plant, they have this calcination kilns, and those bearings are huge bearings and they are very, very costly. So the equipment can come to a halt. There are similar kind of bearings which are used in rolling mills, steel rolling, aluminum rolling, etc., which you have to keep in stock because they are not easily available and they have long lead times. And they are very vital because your equipment can come to a complete halt if there is a failure of this spare. Essential, the item is not available. There will be moderate loss due to production downtime. For example, bearings of motors and auxiliary pumps. So these are not so special kind of bearings, etc. There will be a moderate outage, but you can get the spares without much difficulty. And desirable, that is the third category. The item, if not available, there will not be any significant loss due to production downtime. So like, for example, gasket for piping connections, etc. Because what they do is, if ready-made gaskets are not available, there are gasket sheets available. So the fitters, etc. will actually cut it out from a larger sheet and use it. So the work doesn't stop. Okay, it does take little extra effort, but you know, you are able to keep your show running. ABC analysis, we have already seen this is based on the consumption value. So we have seen that A category products account for 80% of your spend, B category for 15%, and C category accounts for only 5%. And the beauty is the A category, you know, is hardly about 10% of your total spares. B category will be about 20% of your total spares, whereas the C category will be almost 70% of your total spares. So 70% of your items and accounting only for 5% of your expenditure, you know, annual expenditure by way of procurement. The next analysis is the HML analysis. So high cost items, medium cost items, and the low cost item. So items whose unit cost is very high, more than 1,000. Now, by today's standard, 1,000 is not that high. So today, probably you can take it as 10,000. So wherever the unit value is, let's say more than 10,000 or 5,000, that can be considered as high value or high cost. Medium can be something lower, and low cost will be small items, you know, like rubber components, O-rings, washers, etc. So this will be the, so various kind of analysis are, you know, or classification are used to decide which are the items which need to be there in the inventory, spares inventory, and to what extent or what level of spares are required. Let's look at the classification of the spares on other characteristics. So capital spares. So these are vital spares for critical equipment. The stockout cost for such spares is very high, and the unit cost is also very high. The number of items consumed during the entire life of the or lifetime of the equipment may not exceed 3. And the decision has to be made considering ordering and carrying cost of say 3 parts and cost of stockout if these stocks are not maintained. So what are the capital spares? You remember I mentioned that if the machine is specifically built as per your requirement, these components of the machine will be custom made for you. And one example I can give you is we used to have the rolling mill, and in the rolling mill there is a roll which is known as backup roll, and there used to be huge bearings. These are not ball bearings or so, but these are the conventional brass bush bearing kind of a thing. So these bearing housing were custom made for the individual mills, and this used to be one of our capital spare. I remember we never had the need to replace it, but in case there was a failure or if in case there was a damage to that bearing block, for that we were holding the inventory, and this component is supplied by the manufacturer himself. So these are very critical spares which you will not get anywhere else other than your equipment supplier, and even he may not be able to supply it a couple of years or months after the equipment has been supplied.